Hello and welcome to this month's episode of the Professional Motor Mechanic Podcast. We're focusing on the MOT this month. Hurrah! Who doesn't love a good MOT-based podcast episode? Well, keep listening if you want to hear from ProTech Academy's Lee Marsden and the IMI's Hayley Pells on what is working, or, well, mostly what isn't working when it comes to the MOT. We usually like to kick off our episodes these days with our Ride or Die segment, which is where we ask technicians to tell us what their fave tool is. This month, we're all in mechanics mode because Mechanics featuring PMM Live is back next month. On May the 16th and 17th, we're coming up to Harrogate to the Yorkshire Event Centre. We're bringing loads of aftermarket exhibitors and a great seminar lineup, including the IGA, Schaeffler and ALLDATA. So we thought we'd share a few of the chats I've had lately with some of the exhibitors.
The great thing for me about trade shows is that you have meet an audience who are ready to listen, looking for something new, and it's just a very nice atmosphere. Sometimes when you roll up to a garage, they're busy, they've got a lot on, and they don't know you're coming quite often. And so sometimes it's difficult to get the optimum conditions for a conversation, whereas a trade show completely turns that on its head. They've come ready to look for a new supplier, ready to look for new ideas, and because of that, the conversations that you have are much more in-depth and really, really productive.
To be able to get up north is going to be excellent. We don't have anything up here. We really want, you know, somewhere where we can get to and meet people and, yeah, talk to suppliers and so on. So having it up in Harrogate, which is a lovely place anyway, is going to be excellent.
I've been going since joining the aftermarket company that I'm with now, Opus IBS, since kind of circa 2014. I've seen a few changes for the better. Yep. And I've seen it kind of grow in popularity over the last few years as well, kind of post-COVID, which is really intriguing and interesting to see. Well, coming out of COVID, it's kind of changed the landscape of the way that the trade shows and get-togethers have kind of changed. People have been crying out for kind of regional shows, I think. Mm-hmm. National shows are good, international shows are good as well, I attend those. But the more regional shows that you guys provide via the PMM Live section are really needed within our industry for people to get together within an area and kind of bring back that social aspect since the whole COVID period.
That was Simon from ALLDATA, Mike from Calamex, and Carl from Opus IVS discussing the upcoming show. I personally am very much looking forward to the Harrogate show, not just because of Betty's Tea Room. Now, let's hear from Freya and see what she has for us this month.
Thanks, Kieran. Now, let's jump right into the news. To kick things off, April's Startline used car tracker has shown that 6 out of 10 people believe that drivers of 4x4s and other large cars should pay more to park in city centres. This question was asked following the news that parking charges in Paris have been trebled for any vehicle weighing more than 1.6 tonnes. The company wanted to see if there was an appetite for this French move here in the UK, and the answer was found to be a resounding oui, with 37% saying that these vehicles are too big for city centres and are too polluting. Next up, have you ever wondered what the most common faults are? Well, Warranty Solutions Group have identified alternators, batteries, coil springs and water pumps to be the most common failures according to its 2022 to 2023 warranty claims data. The company also looked at some of the most expensive repairs. Amongst these were Land Rover diesel particulate filters with an average cost of £1,485.26. Interestingly, most of the more expensive repairs required the fitment of new OEM parts. To wrap things up, we'd like to invite you, our listeners, to our trade show Mechanics PMM Live, the UK's longest-running trade show dedicated solely to the independent aftermarket, has added another show for 2024, taking place at the Yorkshire Event Centre in Harrogate on the 16th and 17th of May. This is on top of returning to Sandown Park in Surrey on the 12th and 13th of November. The show is free to attend, and so are the bacon rolls, so register your attendance now at mechanics.info. That's it from me now. Back to you, Kieran.
Merci beaucoup, Freya. Before I take you to our main interview, I want to share with you the conversation I had with Mike Bell. You may remember Mike from last month's episode. Mike is the head of workshop solutions at LKQ Eurocar Parts, and they're the headline sponsors of this episode. I visited Mike at their Mammoth HQ in Tamworth to discuss their take on MOT matters and what they're doing to support the industry. Hello, Mike. Nice to see you again.
You too, Kieran.
This month, we're talking about the MOT. Last month, actually, we were talking about EVs.
Yeah.
You have an EV, right, Mike?
I do. And weirdly, it's just come up for its MOT.
Nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a first one.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure it'll pass with flying colours. So anyway, let's move on to some more important stuff surrounding the MOT. Big thing that comes up time and time again when you speak to garages is, you know, the cap needs to be raised. It hasn't been raised in, I think, 14 years. And a lot of people say it should be about £88, I think, according to inflation. What do you think? Should it be raised?
I believe, it has to go in, it has to be in line with operating costs. Our customers, garages out there can't be working for free, effectively, because they need to add on a value service to their customers. So it needs to fall in line with operating costs. And over the last few years, be no surprise to anyone, water, electricity, rates, everything has gone up. So I think it needs to fall in line. I also believe that garages have to keep to whatever that maximum is. I drive around a lot of the country, and sometimes you'll see MOT is £20, that kind of thing. But all we do there is we just devalue the service.
Yep.
It make it impossible to be able to provide the right service for customers and then be able to build a business. So I think, yes, it should fall in line with operating costs, but we should also adhere to that maximum as well within the industry.
And it shouldn't just be a race to the bottom then to provide the lowest MOT you can.
No, not at all. You pay cheap, you pay twice, and it's this is no different with this service.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we'll come back to some of the costs associated later in our chat. But firstly, the MOT it's obviously plays an important role in keeping roads safe. It's kind of the main point of contact, really, isn't it, between most cars or most drivers and their local garage?
I think in most cases it can be the only one. Mm. You know, it is a requirement. You have to do it. You've got to go. So it can be the only time a garage is going to see. I mean, in the last 3 years, I've used three different garages.
Okay.
For my MOT, and different reasons, different places around the country, and suddenly I realise it's on. But I have used three different garages, so I've not actually been back to the same garage. I've always taken up the advisory work as well. So it's really important that garages do make the most of that visit and are able to get to know the customers, show the services they offer, and keep it moving.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned sort of, you know, getting to know the customers. You've obviously kind of shopped around a bit and for various reasons gone to different garages. What can garages do to retain those customers?
I had one experience where, and this was actually, this was a garage that I'd known, I'd gone, and I'd asked them if they could let me know when my MOT was up next year, because sometimes, I mean, organisation's not the strongest point, I think, sometimes. But, and they said, yeah, we don't do that. You'll have to let us know when it's coming up. So one of the things that garages who are successful at retaining businesses, what they'll have is a garage management system. I mean, we offer Carsys, which is our own in-house garage management system, which will send out text messages to your customers. It's coming up soon.
Yeah.
And then it's now coming up a week, and come on, Mike, hurry up. You're going to run out. Emails. So that it's a whole host being able to manage automatically these things to make sure your customer's coming back. Because if one of them garages is just text me and said it's up for, your MOT is due, I'd have rang them up and booked it in.
Yeah.
I would have done it. It would have been that easy. But
it adds kind of a nice professional touch to things, doesn't it?
It does. And you can then start building your business on, well, we know we have this many MOTs come back, because you're getting your repeat business, and you can move on in that way.
Yeah. Okay. Later in this episode, I'll be speaking to Lee Marsden from ProTech Academy. Well, I spoke to him a lot about face-to-face training and basically how garages, MOT testers, they want that kind of face-to-face contact with the DVSA or with a trainer, basically. So what do you think about that?
I'm a huge advocate for face to face in any, whether it be training, whether it be meetings. I mean, you and I tried to do this on Teams, and we both decided let's get together.
We're both face to face people.
We're both face to face people. So, I am. I'm huge on it. I'm LKQ Euro Car Parties as well. That's why we've invested in the new training centres. We're going to be up to 10. I think I mentioned this last time. 150 courses running. A lot of MOT refreshers, as well as manager and tester courses. So I am. There's a time and place for technology, but I am big on face to face, and I think it needs to continue. I think you learn more from it.
Yeah, yeah. And garages, then, anyone sort of thinking about going into MOT testing or sort of weighing up the options, whether to carry on. I mean, there's a lot of costs associated with being an MOT test station.
There is, and. As I said last time, this is my bread and butter, selling MOT stations for the last 10 years, and I always used to say to customers, this could be your second biggest expenditure following your house, and that's true, because what it can take, there's building work, there's new equipment, there's training, there's loss of revenue because you've got downtime because of what's happening within your garage. But what we do is try and help manage that process. We've got 15 specialists around the country who will go in, visit, site survey, and we've got countless different finance options in which we can support as well. So there's a lot of cost to it. It'd be difficult for me to just give a figure, but there's a lot of, we're there to support, and we can give that on site survey, really.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. See you next month.
You're welcome. Cheers.
The government is committed to MOT modernisation and is working to establish a programme of longer-term reform for MOTs. This is according to a recent Department for Transport press release announcing the results of the MOT consultation. The headline news? MOT frequency will remain at 311 for the foreseeable future. More importantly, perhaps, the government has announced it will be exploring a revamp of the test, with particulate testing and ADAS checks being of particular interest. We will look into those changes in a future episode, once the industry has had some time to digest what it means. Even the DVSA seem unsure of that so far, and it's complicated. This episode, however, I wanted just to get an opinion on some of the other more ongoing issues surrounding the test. I visited ProTech Academy to speak to owner Lee Marsden and MOT trainer Callum Dorman, who told me about the difficulties MOT testers have when it comes to training and assessment. I also caught up with the IMI's policy lead, Hayley Pells, to discuss some of the wariness in the industry associated with the MOT and that arm of the government reaching into the workshop and what that means. So I'm just on my way to meet Lee Marsden from ProTech. I'm just about 5 minutes away, just outside of Burton-upon-Trent. It's lovely up here, actually. A lot greener than I was expecting an automotive training academy to be situated in. And I'm going to be speaking to Lee today about the MOT. Lee worked at the DVSA for quite a long time, so he's quite well versed with the way the DVSA works, with the way they do things, and he speaks to garages all the time, so he knows what issues the garages are facing on their side. And I'll confess, I wasn't actually aware of Lee until exactly a week ago. Actually, we were sitting at the same table at the IMI awards dinner, which was last week at the time of recording, and it was fantastic. I couldn't have asked to sit next to anyone better, to be honest. I just mentioned that I was doing an episode about the MOT, and he said, well, you've sat next to the right person. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Lee, to asking him to pick his brains, basically, about the MOT.
Your destination is on the right.
And here we are now. You can see it there, ProTech. Just panning in now. Oh, and
there's a couple of horses coming up the other way. Very nice. Don't see that. Don't see that very often. Okay, I'm a little bit early, but hopefully that's not a problem, and hopefully there'll be a cup of tea waiting for me.
Hello, guys. Thank you for speaking to me today. Can you just introduce yourselves and tell us where we are?
Hi, first and foremost. My name's Callum. I work for Protech MOT and Automotive Academy.
My name's Lee Mars. I'm the Operations Director at Protech MOT and Automotive Academy. Protech is a private training provider. We've been operating now for several years. We prioritise our training on MOT, tested training, electric vehicle, ADAS, four-wheel alignment, mostly for local garages, but we are a national company as well.
And you do get involved with doing the actual work as well?
Yes, so one of our ethos is that we only train what we do. So we're all MOT testers here. We're ADAS calibration technicians, master technicians, and EV technicians. And we actually take on jobs that other garages struggle with sometimes or haven't got the equipment to do the job. And we'll help them out and do it for them. So that's how we keep our skills up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. And you showed me some of the equipment earlier, some pretty high-tech stuff. As we were talking earlier, Lee, about the amount of testers that haven't done their assessment yet, we're coming to the end of the period. And I think there was 13,000 testers, MOT yeah, testers, that still
just,
haven't.
Just released today, DVSA sent an email out today to say that 13,000 are yet to still do their annual training, with only 10 days, I believe, left until the new training year starts on the 1st of April. So trying to get engagement from MOT testers is incredibly difficult. It certainly stems, it's a DVSA issue, how they get people engaged and get it done early.
And Callum, why do you think engagement is so low?
I think as a tester myself, I think it's that some testers aren't forthcoming to want to do it. I think they're frightened sometimes to the online assessment. It's the dread, I always class it as it's the dreaded online assessment. No one likes doing it. It's just something that we have to do. Yeah, I mean, it may be the reason, like I say, it's the pass mark at 80%. Yeah, thankfully they've not put it up because I think that would scare people off completely. But again, testers, more than likely, it's down to being not wanting to do it.
Isn't it true that there's a shortfall every year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's depreciating, unfortunately, though, as a trade, I think. I think Lee will agree with me there on that.
Yeah, I think the figures from last year, when we looked at it, I think this time last year was something in the region of around 6,000 to 7,000 hadn't done it. Well, that's increased. That's doubled this year. I think only last week 25,000 testers hadn't done or completed their, or certainly their online assessment. And I think that's another issue, is that they may just be having a go at the online assessment just to tick box, get through, but actually not have done any training beforehand. Those will do some training. They'll do an e-learning package or do some training themselves in-house. But it's left very much till the last minute for the majority of people.
Anyone who has been on the Matters of Testing blog on the DVSA website will know that a lot of garages, a lot of MOT testers have a gripe or complain at least about the way the training is administered and how it is mandated. Do you think that's an issue sort of affecting people's willingness to get assessed?
Yeah, I think as a mechanic myself, a mechanic technician now, I left school with some qualifications. I wasn't very academic. I got into the industry because I was good with my hands and knew and understood how things worked. I couldn't tell you how they worked. I couldn't write it down, not in a very good format. But now, as MOT testers, we're expected to be more academic, to do that, those minimum hours of 3 hours a year, to keep a training log, to read some very awkwardly worded questions sometimes and awkwardly worded answers. And that's what people dread. It takes you back to school, you know, from your exam days. You know, you used to put the fear of God in you, you know, having to sit in a hall full of hundreds of students and sit quietly and write a paper. It takes you back to that. You regress. And I think that's what a lot of testers still do now. And you know, we do have testers with learning disabilities, dyslexia and such like, you know. And I don't think the annual assessment and online assessment is geared up for those people.
Do you think there is maybe too much in the test these days, or too much maybe to be introduced into the test, and that garages are struggling to keep up with it?
I don't think there's too much in the test itself. It's a minimum standards check. It's a basic check of the major components. I think that the training has certainly slid since DVSA relinquished the training in-house. The message was consistent back in before 2016. We did our 5-year refreshers. We had to go to DVSA or VOSA back then for 2 days. And you met like-minded people. You discussed other situations in that environment. You were free to talk. Whereas now it's sold as a flexibility. You know, you can do it at home, you can do it at work, you can do it at the weekend.
And which suits some people.
Which does suit some people, absolutely. But we always get the feedback that, you know, the 5-year refreshers were the best ones.
Well, as we were saying when we were up in your training room earlier, you know, you get 700 people come through these doors every year. They could just sit at home and do it online, but they choose to come here and do it in person. Why do you think that is?
I think it's face-to-face. You can ask questions to a trainer like myself and Lee and Matt, one of our other trainers as well. Like I say, they can ask questions. For me, I always want to learn. Same for us all. We all want to learn. We all want to learn why. Why is that? Well, you can't ask a book. You can't ask online. There's no questions you can fire back at somebody through a book. Why is that? And, you know, a lot of testers ask them questions. I mean, our MOT assist scheme membership that we have questions fly through all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, for these questions that people get the book and go, well, that's no use, I'll chuck that away.
Yeah.
I'll ring MOT assist, I'll ring Callum, I'll ring Lee, see if you can answer these questions for me. But yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, face-to-face, it massively helps. It helps me. I've been doing my training through Lee for 3 years anyway, before I came to work here, and eventually I'm now working here, which is great. So, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think testers get the support like they used to. We, you know, back in the day of the vehicle inspectorate and VOSA, there was vehicle examiners used to visit the garages quite often, and there were a form of education. You know, they could ask the vehicle examiner. They were looking forward to seeing the vehicle examiner in some cases because they've got a burning issue. And you could
some not so much.
Some not so much. Definitely, yeah. Keep them away from here. But also, you used to have the vehicle examiner's phone number, and you could ring the vehicle examiner and you could ask him the question, and he would answer you. And they were very experienced guys. Whereas it's not so much nowadays. Testers and garages are left pretty much to their own devices to do their own training. There is an expectation that they do their own training, keep up to date. Absolutely get that. But there is no real support there other than the manuals and the guides.
Now, Lee, you were on a webinar recently with Neil Barlow from the DVSA was there, and I think it was hosted by the IMI. And I was an attendee at that webinar. I thought that was, you know, a part of the DVSA reaching out to the industry and kind of contacting kind of garages and getting in touch and really kind of bridging that gap. But do you think they need to do more on that front?
I think they definitely need to do more. I think they need to engage more with the garages, listening to the boots on the ground actually at the coal face. Vehicle examiners aren't visiting the garages, as we know, like they used to. And I don't think that testers are being listened to as they should, especially around the annual training. You know, I think there's a lot of complaints about how it's done and how long they've got to do it. And I think that it's absolutely a valid point, you know, that DVSA are expecting these testers to do this annually with little resource other than, you know, an e-learning package, you know.
And I think they probably need to appear on aftermarket podcasts a bit more. Just putting that out there.
That'd be very, very good to have Neil Barlow with us now.
Yes, it would. If the press office is listening, my emails are there. And moving on, what you obviously speak to garages a lot. What are they say? What do they say about the MOT? What are their kind of biggest concerns?
Price, cost,
yeah, absolutely.
Cost of what they can charge customers.
Yeah, cost, is it worth it for what they're doing it at? You know, it's competition, and that's we've had this conversation, like I say, previously, and we have it all the time with other testers. You know, what are you charging for an MOT? What are you charging for an MOT? And they vary. You know,
yeah,
we should be charging the full fee, in my opinion, and I suppose in Lee's opinion as well. You know, we're undercutting ourselves, and why? You know, you wouldn't go to the dentist and the dentist pull your tooth out and give you an undercut price, would they? They wouldn't do it. You know, hopefully not. I hope to do a good job. But again, you know, I always use that kind of terminology. I say, you know, they wouldn't undercut prices, so why are we? You know.
But if the DVSA were here, I'm sure what they would say to that is that many garages don't charge the full amount, and absolutely, it's up to them. And I guess there's an element of just competition plays a part in that. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
I absolutely agree. It's absolutely right. You've got local competition, but not you know, the cheapest test station in your locality can't do every test in the village or the town. You know, so what I would say to garages, don't be afraid to charge, because you'll drive, what we're currently in is a race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. We need to be driving the cost up. I think on the webinar that we listened to, I think it was last week or the week before, somebody had done a calculation on the rate of inflation, and currently it should be £88, not £54, £85. That cost hasn't changed since the 1st of April 2010.
Not moved in
14
years.
No, and the argument for that is that, well, why would the DFT put the cost of the MOT up if people are discounting? Mm-hmm. That's one reason. And one of the things that came out of the webinar is that they would probably only look at increasing the fee when DVSA start to bring out new technologies that garages have got to invest in to carry on a modern MOT test.
And I guess, you know, they use the argument that a lot of garages discount, but I imagine there are a lot of garages who would happily charge more.
Oh, exactly. Yes. You know, we're only a small training provider. We do get lots of garages come through, but the garages that we know, our busiest garages, charge the full test fee. And when people have been reluctant to put the test fee up, and they do put the test fee up, the customer never doesn't notice.
Yeah.
Because they expect, everything else has gone up around us, they expect the MOT test fee to go up, and it's not questioned, you know. So is it time to look at that test fee?
So one last question then. What's the biggest misconception about MOTs out there, either among garages, the public, the DVSA? What's the kind of number one fallacy?
Well, customers think it's a service. And again, I think your listeners will agree. They'll leave the service book on the passenger seat. And you forgot to stamp your service book, or I've left my locking wheel nut key in the ashtray. You know,
probably thinking it's the cheapest service.
Yeah,
they've
ever had. And they will, you know, and they'll come back and they'll have an issue. The brake pads have gone metal to metal a couple of weeks later, or they've burst a brake pipe, something like that, and they'll come back to the garage and say, you've not done my MOT very well. Yeah. But the customer doesn't understand it is a minimum standards. It's only for that 45 minutes to an hour while it's being looked at. Does the tester consider it roadworthy or not?
I think that's an interesting point, actually, that, you know, you could drive out and in a week's time your car be not roadworthy. Yeah. It's only for that.
Well, it could be straight after. You know, I've had them. You know, when I used to test heavy goods vehicles, we would the brake lights worked at the start of the test, but by the time they bounced through the rollers and everything towards the end of the test, we've got a brake light out. You know,
it was the test's fault. Then.
So it's the tester's fault. Test fault. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you see them. You'll pass it, and then next minute it's the one of the bulbs has gone. So it's only met the minimum standards for the time it's logged on for that test.
Yeah.
You know, for that however long it be, 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that the customer doesn't understand either.
And I think for a lot of drivers, you get your MOT done at the same time as you get the servicing done. It's the one time really that you want to come to a garage. Obviously, you know, if you have a crash or something happens, you need to come to the garage. But
ideally, once a year, you come to the garage, you get the servicing, you get the MOT done. So it's the one time the garage actually gets to see your car.
It is, exactly. I think it moves on from that a little bit, because people who buy new cars will take them back to the dealer for servicing. That's why we have this 3-year test, and that 3 years, you know, it's under warranty. It'll get, it has to go back for service and repairs to the dealer, because otherwise they won't have the warranty, etc. There's some myths and misconceptions with that. But then as it drops out and falls into the second-hand market, you know, all good intentions, people still service them once or twice a year and have it checked. And then when it moves on again, it's then, well, it just needs an MOT once a year, which some customers believe is a service as well, you know, and it isn't.
I feel like you're encouraging people to get their car serviced twice a year.
We're not a service centre.
Yeah, we're not a service centre.
Thank you for speaking with me, guys.
No worries.
Thank you.
It was great to speak to the guys there. Now, I caught up with Hayley Pelds from the IMI last week, and we spoke about the interplay between the government on the one hand and independent workshops on the other. We spoke about connected equipment and the role government plays in independent workshops. Let's take a listen. So in terms then, Hayley, of the connected equipment, which is, of course, is very different from many of the sort of the other software that we're discussing, but you know, you mentioned that people were scared when they were, or at least sort of wary when it was first introduced. So why would that be then? Because I can see why people would be wary of some technologies, but connected equipment, you know, you mentioned it just saves time from entering your data. And if you get your data wrong, of course, it's not good.
There's a couple of very right and proper nervousness around the inclusion of technology when it is enforced in a regulatory space. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the automotive industry is not regulated. So if you wanted, Kieran, as when you come to visit me before in my own workshop, if you wanted to go and feel so inspired from visiting my workshop to open your own, mm-hmm. you could have opened one that very afternoon and started repairing cars for people and taking money. There's nothing in place to stop you from doing that. MOT testing is regulated. Mm. And because it is regulated, you can only buy equipment from a certain prescribed list. And that equipment then has to be calibrated by a person who is correctly qualified to do so. And those records have to be kept. So I think the nervousness is that government direction within a regulated space to make it a legal obligation to use this technology. So that's quite a long chain. So there's no choice from the participant. This is regulatory burden. And any government should be mindful of unnecessary regulatory burden. And if the inclusion of that technology is for the greater good and does actually create better testing environments and safer roads, then we absolutely should be doing it. But if we've already got really safe roads and we've got an MOT testing service that is the envy of the world, then why do we need to foist regulatory burden on people if we're already in a good place?
Are you saying we are in a good place?
So it's good about the consultation and the call for evidence. I'm very proud of the MOT webinar that we had at the Institute of the Motor Industry that we made open to everybody, not just our members, because it was important to have the voice of the industry heard in this important area as we move forward. So we facilitated this discussion in order, now we're moving through the core evidence, getting as much insight from testers as we can to make sure that we're hearing what is happening at the coalface, because those experiences are so important to policymakers and decision makers who are ultimately trying to make our roads safer. And that is what we all want, but we need to have the view of industry. We need to know what testers are experiencing and what they know that could make this better, because they're some of the best people to ask.
Is there an impression among some workshops that the government are focusing on the wrong things, like pushing connected equipment maybe, when there are maybe other things, to better things to focus on?
When do we all sit in agreement that government's pushing the right things? Isn't this why we go out and vote? Yeah, that's a bit mean. I think this is what the consultation and call for evidence was all about. So there was ministerial direction. Ministerial direction. This came from the minister. We should be looking at changing the MOT frequency to reduce the financial burden to motorists. So that was the originator of that whole thing. And we took it to industry. And what we did, and it was acknowledged during the webinar, that the data-led research that the Institute of the Motor Industry, we provided for them, showed that when you split the car park by powertrain, the picture was very different from when you just looked at the data from a top-line view. And I know you've had an excellent podcast with Alex about that over at Garage Hive and how we used garage industry trends to form part of that consultation response process that we went through. We took this to the Transport Research Lab. We also took it to high-level Department for Transport, as well as going it through with DVSA. And they did acknowledge that our work was one of the pivotal aspects of what U-turned that ministerial direction. So that is how good policy should be made. We have an idea. We want to make something better. We want to examine what the status quo is. Now let's ask the experts what they think. And the experts came up with not just what our hunch was, we came up with robust data-led research that fully supported what the industry felt. And then we collected that all together and presented it to the department, completely U-turning that ministerial direction, which was made in good faith. Just because you're the Minister of Transport doesn't mean that you know anything specifically about MOT testing or trains or airports. So this is the role of industry to make sure that those decision makers have everything they need to create good policy.
Thank you, Hayley. Now, Hayley stressed the importance there of getting the view of the industry and basing decisions off that, or at least making decisions which are informed by industry experience. Lee and Callum stressed the need to accommodate the realities of independent workshops when formulating the MOT test, the training, and the assessment. I wonder sometimes how big the gap is between the intention on the part of the DVSA and the real outcomes that you actually get in the garage. And I guess a lot of that comes down to tackling fraud. Either way, I think what is clear is that the MOT is kind of like a government service outsourced to often very small independent workshops. No one wants to see a centrally administered system like Northern Ireland be put in place, but maybe the government needs to add extra support and incentives for the 23,000 test stations in the rest of the UK. It's an important role those workshops are playing in keeping our roads safe. And if double the amount of testers failed to complete their assessment this year compared to last, that's a worrying indication that somewhere along the line, something has failed. Thank you to all our guests this month. Thank you to LKQ Euro Car Parts for sponsoring this episode, and thank you for listening. Remember, you can catch up with all the episodes we've done so far on the platform of your choice. Why not go back and listen to the MOT Madness episode we did last year? Or to the Striving for Success episode. That's the episode that Hayley mentioned, featuring Alex Lindley, and we discussed MOT statistics. Highly interesting stuff, if I may say so myself. Next month, we'll be discussing staff retention and asking, is money the answer to the skills crisis? See you then.